stand in the birthplace of new media, Infowars.com, founded by my father, Alex Jones, 32 years ago in 1997. The year was 2014 when they originally built this studio, and not long after, President Donald Trump would join my father on the air to do his first ever appearance in media in general, talking about the presidency. Because at the time, no one would interview then-candidate Trump. My father, sitting in this very chair, looking out to this very scene, as you see before you right now, interviewed Donald Trump. And what did Donald Trump say to my father? "Alex, you will be very impressed. I hope you are a good man. I will not let you down." I sit in here, and that was 2015, so that was 11 years ago. I sit in here and I think about everything that's happened since. I think about COVID. I think about the quiet recession, depression that we're in. I think about the Ukraine war. I think about the Gaza genocide. I think about all of it, all the political persecution, all the pain. And I ask you, where were you for us? Because it would have been a very small matter to save this studio from being destroyed. Take a look around you again. The government allowed major law firms, Trump allowed major law firms to expense tens of millions of dollars in legal work against us as charity work, as pro bono work. The very same firms that sued Donald Trump, that he called lawfare and he called malicious prosecution, they came after us as well. He says they're very fine people, they're allowed to do it. Take a look around you again. People have said that things said in this room are too extreme, they're dangerous, they're wrong. Well, I ask you, if it's so wrong what's been said in this room, if it's so wrong that Alex Jones should owe $1 billion, where are Jesse Waters, Sean Hannity, Rachel Maddow, all of them, where are their $1 trillion judgments? These people have manufactured consent for multiple genocides and ethnic cleansings leading to the deaths of millions of people since the early 2000s. Where is the equality? Where is the justice in our justice system? A man built all of this from nothing with his sweat, with his blood, with his tears. I did the calculations. It's over 40,000 hours on air. He did that all by himself. You look at a Vice Media, you look at a Young Turks. These people receive tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. And they're still lost leaders. They're still failures. The companies are still always in the red. They shut InfoWars down because they were afraid of a place that generated $180 million between 2015 and 2018, that's on record, that generated that much money completely independently, all because of one man, and go behind you, look at that chair again, all because of one man in one chair spreading a message to the audience, and because of all the crew here, all the powerful crew that have made this entire system hum, because of this engine, this organic thing, they have come after us. They want to silence us because they don't want you to be able to do that too. They don't want you to be able to fight against the big corporations. They don't want you to be able to fight against the big lawyers. They don't want you to be able to fight against the big money. We're all Alex Jones. We're all InfoWars. And they can take that logo away. They can put a gay little onion on there and have Tim Heidecker do a little jig. He can do a tap dance and shuck and jive for all I care. This place will never die. It'll never go away. And that's why you need to go to the Alex Jones Network. That's where all this is going to be. We're going to walk in that spirit. We're going to take it forward, move it forward. The Alex Jones Network. Go there. Remember our history. Join us now.
This is an info war, ladies and gentlemen. This is what is going on. We've been doing this for 32 plus years. My dad's been doing this the majority of his life. I've been doing it my entire life. This is what matters to us right now on the network, is speaking truth to power and being anti-war, pro-humanity, pro-America. America first, not just a slogan, but a way of life. That's what we're talking about here. That's what I believe in. That's what you believe in, too. That's why I know you're here listening to me on the network. We have the powerful Mike Adams joining us, polymath engineer, runs a testing facility, super smart guy, host of the network for years and years and years, a huge creative influence on me as well. Can't wait to talk to Mike about all the interesting things going on in the world right now. We'll be right back.
Let's add some personality to this frog. Little red right here for some lipstick. Just a few gentle strokes. There we go. A perfect little touch.
Ahoy, matey. Claim America's 250th limited edition silver coin. 1 troy ounce of 999 fine silver, forged to honor 250 years of liberty. Grab your treasure now and help keep us in the fight.
Visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Does anybody really know the secret or the combination for this life and where to keep it? It's kind of sad when you don't know the meaning, but everything happens for a reason.
We're doing our best. I know a lot of other young people across America and really the world are trying to figure out what the hell is going on. You know, we'd like to have a future. We'd like to have families, like to have houses, like to have children. We'd like to have a country. You know, the same country our grandparents and great-grandparents grew up in, but as the technocracy rapidly approaches, some would say it's already here. As the wars rapidly approach, some would say World War III or World War IV is already here. As the famine rapidly approaches, as just all of it comes together, I think it's worth it to have a guy on the network who's been on the network for years and years and years discuss this. Mike Adams, you've had such a phenomenal track record of making these futurist predictions, a lot like my dad, especially relating to AI and, of course, with the work that you've been doing with Michael Yon on the global energy war. How are you doing today?
Yeah, hi there, Rex. Thanks for having me on. It's always great to join you. And, you know, you're right. Your father was a trailblazer, continues to be. But I mean, even decades ago, he was saying things that turned out to be so accurate and so true, but they sounded so outlandish at the time. And now we realize, if anything, he kind of understated the horrors that we're now living through.
Sure. And that's the thing, is man-made horrors beyond your comprehension. I wanted to talk about this. He hit it super hard in the first hour, and I was super proud of him for doing that because, I mean, he's got 3 draft-age children. I know I'm not going to go die in the Persian Gulf for a war for Israel, but I want to talk about this. Trump admin gives vendors under 3 weeks to create computer simulation models for a military draft. So apparently by August 15th, they want to have this done. They want to have it ready. You don't do something like this unless you're prepping.
Well, right. And it's clear that they're planning for a major false flag attack after that to be blamed on either Russia, China, or Iran. It's very clear. And it'll be something that probably makes 9/11 look small by comparison. And this is why they have to have the CIA controlling so many of the so-called conservative influencers. This is why they have to have censorship in the AI models. You know, this is why they don't want you to have access to open source AI effectively, because that allows you to do your own research, decentralized. But it's also why, you know, this is all going to be a cover story. The war is going to be a cover story for the collapse of the currency. And as the currency collapses, then they'll drive everybody into CBDCs. And then they can, of course, you know, programmable money, they'll control what you're allowed to buy and how you're allowed to spend. And then the flock cameras or the Axon cameras, those will be the enforcers of your mobility and lockdowns. And you'll have a radius of allowed travel because of the diesel shortage and the fuel scarcity that would kick in. So we're talking about multiple layers of the police state coming at us head on.
Yes. And the idea is, the Americans are spoiled. The Americans have had it too good. You're going to have to feel some pain to defend your country. You have to allow your country to become Brazil somehow to defend it. And what you just referenced is so key. We didn't even coordinate before, but it's on my mind. It's in my rundown. You're talking about Section 24220, which directs the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to issue a federal motor vehicle safety standard requiring new passenger vehicles to be equipped with advanced drunk and impaired driving prevention technology. So they're just going to watch you. And if your eyes get low, if you sit low in the seat, you know, you're going to get a ticket, going to go to the police station. That's pretty liberal.
Yeah, exactly. And remember, every one of these is shrouded in the language of safety. So, you know, why do we need flock cameras? Oh, for the safety of your community so we can catch bad guys. Okay, well, that's not really how it's being used. It's being abused by law enforcement to stalk, you know, their love interests and things like that, or stalk women that they want to go on a date with. It's being used to also to identify, to falsely identify people for being harassed and arrested by police, people who are completely innocent, who didn't steal their car, or even sometimes it's the wrong person because there are a lot of false license plate translations. So you can actually be pulled over. You could be pushed off the road like a pit maneuver from a cop, just because you were flagged by a flock camera and you've done absolutely nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And it's going to get far worse.
Do you think we'll get to the point? Obviously, the kill switch is already there. That's admitted. That exists. Do you think we'll get to a point within the next decade where that's just, you know, my car pulled me over? You think that'll be accepted?
Absolutely. That's exactly where it's going. You know, it's interesting that also in Minority Report, right? Philip K. Dick novel film with Tom Cruise. It's worth going back and watching that movie today because almost everything in that film has come true, even though it's from, I think, over 20 years ago. But one of the things that happened in that film was that the Tom Cruise character was arrested while he was in a vehicle, and then the vehicle did a U-turn on the highway and began to take him to drive him to a police station. And of course, he in the film, he then smashed out the windows and, you know, did an adventurous escape. But that might be very difficult for most people to pull off. So yeah, your car, see the full self-driving, and I want to be clear, what Tesla has built is extraordinary technology. It's quite amazing. The full self-driving feature set is really, really good. But the downside of that is that possibly with a government mandate, the Tesla company could be ordered in the same way that, for example, Facebook is ordered to turn over all the records of a particular user, or AT&T is ordered to turn over records. Tesla could be ordered to command a vehicle to drive an occupant to a police station to face arrest.
Right.
And that's not Tesla's fault. You know, that's the government forcing them to do that and saying, you have to do it. But if that begins to happen, and it hasn't happened yet, I'm not saying that that's where we are today, but if that begins to happen, then you'll see people ditching full self-driving vehicles completely. It's like, I didn't know I bought a prison on wheels, you know?
Right. No, 110%. I really agree with that. I want to go to clip number 13 pretty soon. It's Tim Dillon talking about a lot of same stuff that we're talking about here. And, you know, humor really is the greatest weapon because you point out how absurd it is, right? The idea that we've ceded so much control just over the past 4 years to AI, to new technology, to the self-driving car. Here's my thing. When I see the Waymo's driving around, when I see the robo-taxi driving around, I know eventually I'm going to grow up, be middle-aged, old, and live in a world where humans don't operate vehicles anymore. And I'm not a fan of that. And I guess I'm kind of like I'm not really a Luddite. Like, I don't hate technology, but I feel like there are certain things that, like, when you emulate the human form or take away a responsibility from a human, it's not even like the internet directly where it just gives you the ability to have more of a resource. It is the thing. It's the solution in itself. And I think that creates a lot of laziness and people give up their rights. And what Benjamin Franklin said, those that would desire to gain security by giving up liberty deserve neither and will lose both. What do you think about that?
Well, so there are a lot of advantages of full self-driving vehicles. Also, I agree with what you just said. I'll get to that. But the one advantage is that full self-driving now today, the tech is so good that it's better than most human drivers.
Wow.
At avoiding objects, you know, avoiding pedestrians or animals that are crossing the road, or avoiding accidents or debris in the road. Now it's interesting because I started talking about getting off of fossil fuels and being able to use solar power to charge your own EV. And after I started talking about that, without me pushing or anything, four of my own employees went out and bought Teslas. And the other day, I asked one of them, I said, how often do you use full self-driving? And they said 96% of the time. Like,
right.
Wow. And this is a younger person in their 20s. Like, wow, aren't you afraid that you're going to forget how to drive?
Right.
You know, as a human, it's like, well, I still drive sometimes when it's difficult, but I just let the vehicle do the driving for me so I can do other things, you know, like listen to podcasts or whatever. So that is going to happen to the point where the real pivot point is when they take the steering wheels out, right? Like the robo taxis, you don't even have a steering wheel. You're just a passenger. There's no possibility of you having control over the vehicle. That's a vehicle that I don't ever want to get in, frankly. Because I always want to have like a brake pedal, right? Or a steering wheel or whatever, or the unlock button so I can unlock the doors and bail out of this thing if something goes wrong, right?
Wow. So it's completely, it's like sterilized and neutered. It's like a dysgenic vehicle, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And you know, it'll be sold to you as a convenience. Like you can sit back and you could sleep or you could get work done or whatever. Like the technology is so good and so reliable. And that's all true, but look what you give up. So I think that smart people, even if they have a self-driving vehicle, they'll also have another vehicle that's a regular gas combustion engine vehicle or whatever, or a diesel, that's kind of an old school car that they can physically control as a backup. And I will maintain that. So even though I'm not a fan of what's happening, you know, obviously in the Middle East and all the refineries are burning up, diesel scarcity is going to become a very real issue. So I want to be able to charge my vehicle from sunlight using my own solar panels, not even the power grid, right? But I also want to have 500 gallons of diesel stored in a diesel tank, and I want to have a diesel truck. So I want to have both options, and I think that's the smart play.
100%, and I really agree with this post I saw you make. Guys, overhead shot, please, if you can do that. A warning to all those who can hear this, get out of the cities if you can. In the scenario that's coming, the cities will be the least survivable locations. I think that's just a no-brainer. I think that's true. I'm really looking at myself and how I'm going to relocate, you know, even just here in the next few months, just out of a safety perspective. I don't want to be in one of these giant population centers, at least not in the middle of one. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, because, I mean, you're exactly right. And the, you know, famine will strike other countries in a very aggressive manner around the world. I've talked about that. But there will be food scarcity in the United States, and food will become much more expensive. So, in fact, I think it was Matt Bracken that told me in a recent interview, I was asking him, what are the big signs that the chaos is really here? And he said that when a major grocery store in a major city is looted and gutted by a mob of hungry people. And my reaction to that was that doesn't sound like it's too far off. Actually, I could see that happening later this year or sometime in 2027. When that happens, of course, you do not want to be anywhere near the looting, right? You want to be away from the chaos. You want to be sitting on your ranch somewhere, you know, with all your stored food, you're ready to go, or you're growing some of your own garden vegetables. You're sprouting seeds, you know, for high density nutrition.
Chickens.
You've got top supplements. Yeah, you harvesting chicken eggs or whatever. That's where you want to be. You want to be as far away from the chaos as possible. And the only way to do that is to get out of the cities. I mean, even like I just mentioned, storing 500 gallons of diesel. That, to a lot of people, that seems like a very odd thing. To me, it's totally normal because I live in the country in Texas, and farmers very often have fuel storage. It's a normal thing. You want to go to a place where that is normal and it doesn't stand out as being weird, because you don't want to have a giant red flag on you and your property. It's like, oh, this person is a prepper. No, this person is a farmer. This person has a tractor. Of course they have 500 gallons of diesel. Who wouldn't? You know, it's an agricultural center here, right? So that's my advice, is to go where you fit in by being prepared and being more self-reliant. And that's the countryside.
Yeah, absolutely. I look around and I like walk around Austin, or I go to like the Domain, Hill Country Galleria downtown. It just looks so soft and so ready for just complete overthrow. And you see people walking the streets. Yeah. And here's the thing. The homeless people, they're methed out on drugs, whatever. The heat gives people superpowers, right? So you got a bunch of people jacked up walking around. That will become a lot more normal in the coming years as resources dwindle, as jobs fall off, as just the economy craters. And that's the reality that we talk about. This is why we're anti-war. Okay, the pro-war people, or people that are pro-war and pretend to be anti-war, that say, oh, maybe some of it's justifiable, trust in the system, trust the plan, trust in Trump. That doesn't work out long term, because we're already seeing the economic fallout. Trump had a very limited window to actually return cheap energy and to get the economy off the ground. We need cheap energy to go to work, to go to the grocery store, to feed your children, transport your children. Literally every facet of modern life is these internal combustion engines. Right. And although we want to transition to, you know, new technology, and there's a wide discussion about that, our society right now, it runs on the thing that's being choked, not just at the Strait, but also at Bab el-Mandeb. So there's two out of the seven critical waterways restricted right now. And you could say, oh, well, it's only 10%. Oh, the thing that got blown up in the Caspian Sea, that's only 2%. It's a global world energy war that's going to result in a domestic crisis here at home. We have tons of the sweet crude. We got tons of it. We can make the gasoline and whatnot. To make the diesel, a decision has to be made. Larry Johnson talks about this. We either have to make it for the fighter jets and for the aviation, or we have to make it, you know, for the trucks that go to the grocery store. What's your thought on that whole juxtaposition?
Yeah, well, again, to quote Bracken, World War E, where E stands for either energy or Epstein, depending on what topic you're focused on. Right. But it's a world war over energy. And see, let me back up to the first day of the Joe Biden administration. One of the very first executive orders that he signed was the shutting down of the major pipeline. the energy pipeline. I forgot the name of it.
Nord Stream.
It was.
Or no.
No. It was the one in the U.S.
Right. Keystone, I think.
A major. Yeah, right. I think that's it.
Yeah. Right. Keystone XL.
That's kind of along the eastern part of the country. Shutting that down. And then, of course, Biden was bragging about how we were going to destroy Nord Stream to cut off Western Europe from Russia's affordable gas. Now then, so that was devastating what Biden did, and also limiting drilling off the coast and so on, limiting energy exploration. That really crippled America. And one of the reasons why China is actually leading in AI technology today, or AI inference serving, is because they have very affordable electricity because they spent decades building out their energy infrastructure while the U.S. was following climate cultists, just, you know, woke idiocy to the point of shutting down our own domestic energy.
Right.
Okay. So China has electricity for everyday people, consumers. They pay, I think, 8 cents or 8.5 cents per kilowatt hour. Imagine, I mean, on the Eastern power grid in the U.S., people are paying, you know, 25, 30, 35 cents a kilowatt hour. That's going to go to 50 cents very, very soon. How can you even be competitive if your energy costs 3 or 4 times as much? And the answer is you can't. You know, you can't. By the way, there's a little bit higher commercial rate that commercial users pay in China. But that rate I mentioned is the consumer rate, the end consumer. But then Trump's mistake, in my view, was starting this war with Iran. So that was just as devastating as Joe Biden's mistake of shutting down the Keystone pipeline.
Sure.
Trump's mistake is that you didn't have to. Like, the Strait of Hormuz was open. Everything was working and flowing before February, 28th, 29th of this year. And then Trump starts the war. And then now look at the results. Now we have a global energy shock that is making its way like an avalanche across the world. And it's going to impact us in America. We haven't felt the big repercussions yet because it's a very long, you know, delay time. There's a long latency in the pipeline for food, fertilizer, and energy. But it's not magical. Like, you can't just create molecules of diesel out of nothing. You actually have to get the oil. You actually have to refine it. You actually have to have the physical stuff, right? Or you're screwed. And that's where we are headed. We're going to have scarcity. We might have diesel rationing. And if there's rationing, you know the military is going to get first dibs on the jet fuel, kerosene, and the diesel. And then everybody else is just going to have to make do. Good luck.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, no, absolutely. One thing I always point back to, and this relates to what we're talking about now, this isn't modern, this happened a long time ago, but you can go watch videos of the Germans demolishing their nuclear power plants and just smiling, just absolute, just glee, high-fiving each
Wild.
Other. And it's just like, well, there's a destruction of the manufacturing engine, the heart of Europe. Like, there it is, bye-bye, it's gone. And then you look at the Nord Stream situation, we say Ukrainian terrorists did it. Well, who funds the Ukrainian terrorists? That would be probably the CIA. So it's pretty much on record that pipeline was blown up. So they had to buy oil 3 times the price from us. And you look at that scenario, you combine that with the nuclear power and then getting rid of that. Europe is completely bankrupt. America, we have some natural resources. We have the oil. We have certain things. We're not in as bad of a spot. What do you see for Europe right now? Because they got Iran, they got Russia, they got China, and they got all these wars they're trying to fund and fight. What's your opinion just on the EU situation?
Well, the EU is completely screwed. And well, they screwed themselves.
Right.
Let's be clear about that. And I'm not talking about the everyday people in the EU countries or in the UK.
The government.
I'm talking about the insane leadership. You know, the bloodlines that David Icke talks about. They are anti-humanist. They're transhumanist. They're insane. They're sociopathic lunatics that actually want to destroy much of the human population. And one of the ways that they see to achieve that is to shut down the energy infrastructure that powered Western Europe and powered industry, especially in Germany, for the last several decades. You know, Germany was the powerhouse, right, since the 1980s. That's done. That's gone now. So the collapse of Western Europe has been planned for a long time. And remember, the reason, or one of the reasons that why they want this war with Russia and they want to escalate it, is so that they can exterminate the young British men, the young French men, young German men. They want to, the leadership wants to exterminate them by sending them off to die in the Russian artillery meat grinder machine, which is the front lines of the war. And that's also, it appears to me, that's also where we're headed in the U.S. Because,
yes.
See, young men in America, like you, Rex, are waking up. They're not buying the BS anymore. They don't buy the psyops anymore. We have decentralization of knowledge and information because of the success of channels like yours and what we're on right now, InfoWars in general, and Alex's work over all the years. The younger generation isn't buying it. And so the people in charge really literally want to kill them all by sending them off to die in a war. But to do that, they need to start the war. They need to provoke the war. They need to tear up all the agreements. That's why Trump doesn't follow the MOU. He violated it in 20 different ways. He claims Iran wants to negotiate. I don't know. He's got voices in his head or something. The truth is Trump is following a pattern of making the war larger, larger, and larger. And so is Ukraine. And this is going to end up in one giant world war. And one of the reasons, one of the purposes is to exterminate young men in Western civilization.
Absolutely. And this is why I get so angry about people that lie and say this isn't a war. Like, how dare you? How can you say so? How can you start a fight? How can I punch you in the face and not expect you to punch me back? That's what we did by killing their Pope on day one. Let me not mention. So to people that say that's right. not an act of war, people say, oh, you're crazy. You're not going to get drafted. There's just a limited strike, limited engagement. This expands day by day by day by day. It's over 150 days. All right. We just lost four more soldiers that Trump now claims we didn't lose in the war. I mean, this is the level of like absurd cognitive dissonance that our leadership has about it. And I have to think like they're not fools. They're not lying. Like maybe they're lying to themselves. They know what they're doing. They want to kill off that generation of young men and women, by the way. They want to get both genders involved in this. It's a liberal, as my dad would say, right? They want to send us off to fight and die in Iran. So, hey, you know, Abdul and Mohammed and Ganesh can be the new Americans, the new British people, the new German people. That's the reality.
Well, that's exactly what's happening. Western Europe will be completely taken over by followers of Islam. There's no question about it. I mean, they're just burning all the churches in
France,
for
example. Happened before, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 732 AD.
That's how this whole thing works. But, you know, what Trump is trying to do is tell us, you know, always tells us this is going to be a short war. We were told initially this is going to be 2 to 3 weeks in Iran. And of course, now we're 5 months in plus, and it's going to continue to grow. And you just saw the attacks yesterday on the Saudi Arabian refineries, right?
Aramco, yes.
And the pipeline, the East-West pipeline, and going to Yanbu, the port there on the Red Sea. That is also absolutely deliberate to continue to escalate the supply shock. I think that's taking something like 7 million barrels of oil per day off of the global marketplace. That's going to affect us in a huge way later this year. Because remember, the U.S. imports 6.5 million barrels per day of the heavy crude oil, exactly the kind of oil that's produced in both Iran and Saudi Arabia.
We need it in Russia. We need it. We're not getting it. We got to find it again. Thank you, Mike Adams. I'll see you in the next segment. Stay with us.
Okay. All right.
Fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks, you've seen the deplatforming, you've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the third hour with Mike Adams. We got a lot more to cover, a lot more to get into. I want to play clip number 13. This is Tim Dillon kind of eulogizing our society. Go ahead and play it.
And people get mad at me. What are you saying? There's no deep state?
No, dummy. But if the deep state can never be affected or impacted or changed, then why even elect this guy? Why did you all get excited and wear the dumb hats, dummies? Why did you care so much about this guy and his election if this deep state, if you were just going to blame everything on the deep state, then what the hell was the point? Why did you go to the rallies? Why did you, were you just trying to go to a concert? And that's really what it was. Did you just like the merch? Why did you care so much about this guy? Well, if this, why isn't he investigating his own assassination attempt? Let's talk about the deep state for a minute, by the way. Why don't we know anything about the guy that assassinated him? Okay. Or tried to, sorry, attempted. I'm not saying there's no deep, I'm not saying there's not some permanent government apparatus. I've talked about it a million times on the show. I get it. But for the people that ran on upending the deep state to then come in and blame things on the deep state, seems like you have to be an idiot for that to work. Why were you excited for this guy to win? Why did anyone think it would be interesting for this guy to win if he was just going to do all the things that this deep state wants him to do? What is he doing that they don't like, by the way? Maybe some tariffs that'll just expire the minute he's out of office. He's in Iran. He kidnapped Maduro. Flock cameras are everywhere. The tech people are getting all the money. So who is this deep state again? Who are these people that are really upset and up in arms with him? Who are they? I don't know who they are. He seems to be, what would they want him to do that he's not doing? He seems to be pretty lockstep with all of these people. Surveillance technology is everywhere. The pace at which unregulated AI is going to grow and become a real problem is harrowing. We're about to commit troops to a war with a country and we'll probably lose. That's the other thing. Unless we put a million people in there and hold their government. And then what will winning look like? It'll just be tallies of dead people. It's going to be a nightmare. It won't feel like winning. It'll feel like losing. And it'll probably be actually losing too, because there's not much you can do in that country. But again, we're on the brink of that. We're on the brink of that. So again, I'm asking all the smart people. I'm excluding the paid hack MAGA people that are getting paid by this. That's great. He unwound DEI. Ta-da. Great. I'm all for that.
This is where I'm at. This is where I'm at, because everyone that's, I guess, on the right or whatever, because I don't even believe in that right anymore. I don't believe in the duopoly. I think that you either serve the authority or you serve the truth. All these people are trying to compromise and say, hey, man, we're still getting a lot of what we needed, a lot of what we wanted to get done. I voted for the peace president. I voted for the guy that promised to, you know, end things like this, end globalism. What do you think of what Tim just said there?
Well, I think Tim nailed it, and I love his presentation style.
Me too.
And he's expressing the outrage that many of us feel and the betrayal that many people feel. And, you know, I did not vote for Trump this third time. I voted for him twice before, but not this time, because I sensed that he had done too many deals with too many parties, such as, for example, the military-industrial complex and also big tech, et cetera. And so I specifically did not vote for him. But then I also realized I was in Texas and Texas was going to go pro-Trump anyway. But let me share something that's related to what Tim just said there that I think is a much bigger and much more critical picture. Trump needs a nuclear war in order to deliver the second half of a major binary weapon system that began with Trump approving the COVID vaccines. So the COVID vaccines, they hijack your body's cells to produce spike protein toxins. And these spike protein toxins then are circulating throughout your body. And in the presence of spike protein toxins, your body's normal DNA repair mechanisms are suppressed by 85 to 90%. So from a technical standpoint, those are called NHEJ, non-homologous end joining, that repairs double strand breaks, which is a total break of your chromosomes. And there's another one called HR, which is homologous recombination. These are suppressed, again, up to 90% by the presence of the spike protein. Now, stay with me here, Rex, because this is a huge deal. Normally, your body is repairing literally billions of errors every single day in your chromosome, because, you know, your cells are dividing, and so your genetic material is, you know, it's unraveling and then it's replicating. Through a DNA polymerase enzymes, it's creating copies. Copies sometimes have errors. The errors are repaired. Some errors are introduced by background radiation, ionizing radiation from sunlight, from high altitude air travel, from dental x-rays, chest x-rays, whatever. Chemical exposure, also toxic chemicals. If you then have a nuclear war and you have radioisotope fallout, where background levels of ionizing radiation are substantially increased all around the world, then all of those people who took the vaccine will be unable to repair their DNA to keep up with the levels of double strand breaks from the ionizing radiation. So the vaccine was the first part of a binary weapon system that suppressed DNA repair, which is why we're getting accelerated aging, turbo cancers, and immune system failure in those people. Billions of people are suffering effects of vaccines all over the world. You start a nuclear war, it's the kill switch. It's the kill switch that causes people's DNA to lose all integrity. And then you die from the inside. You die at the cellular level. Your organs fall apart from the inside. And it doesn't look like the globalists exterminated billions of humans.
Okay, so this is key. This is absolutely key. The overpopulation thing that we're constantly sold, as populations become richer and more developed, people eventually stop having kids or they have less children. So the population growth, that whole narrative, oh, we're not going to be able to feed the planet. It's actually population collapse that we have to be worried about. Think about being old and having no one there to repair the roads, be an electrician, be a plumber, be your doctor, be your friend. Imagine a world that's empty. That's the world that they're creating because they believe in their robot, AI, transhumanist, brain node interface system that they'll build that they won't need it. But in that world, they also won't need you. And this is what's key for everyone in the audience to understand. Mike, I know you have a ton of experience when it comes to, you know, breaking down the technocrats and the elites. What do they say about what they want to do to the human population?
Well, in my view, in my understanding of what they want, and there are different factions, by the way, it's sure. not one just, you know, unified group, but they all see, they see humanity as a threat to their power. This is why when we talked about they want to start wars because they want to send young men off to die. But they see humanity as a whole as a threat to their power. So they want to replace humans with robots so that the robots, you know, carry out the labor to keep the remaining elite humans living in relative wealth, you know, plenty of food, you know, plenty of land, etc. But robots will be given the right to vote. And that will happen. And by the way, we've already seen, I think there's one town, I forgot where it is in the U.S., that gave the right to vote to corporations or non-human entities, you know, legal entities, were given the right to vote in local elections. This is going to expand to where robots will be said to have consciousness. And that's going to be a very interesting philosophical argument. You know, you and I talked about consciousness last week on the War Room. But once it is established, and this is exactly where this is going, they're going to say that AI has consciousness, and that then robots that are embodied with AI are themselves conscious beings. Therefore, they should have the right to vote. Once that law goes in where robots have the right to vote, they don't need any humans at all because the robots will replace the labor, but most importantly, the voting. And then they can, of course, build in all the back doors to have the robots vote to keep the people in power. Okay. And then humans will be killed off through famine and war and the radiation binary weapon that I just mentioned. It'll be genetic. Basically, it's a genetic kill switch is what's been, and Trump is unleashing both of them. That's what's astonishing. He unleashed the original COVID vaccines, emergency use authorization, bragged about it. It's a DOD weapon laundered through China's Wuhan lab for gain of function additions in order to bypass U.S. restrictions of the criminality of bioweapons development. So they just laundered it through China. And then if we get to a nuclear war, even just a small tactical nuclear weapon will result in these radioisotopes fallout. You know, there will be fallout all over the world. And Rex, one more thing, that term fallout applies to vaccine shedding. I'm calling vaccine shedding vaccine fallout. It's spike protein fallout. If you are around a person who has been vaccinated with these mRNA systems, their bodies are factories that are churning out bioweapon toxins, which are the spike protein that suppress your DNA repair mechanisms. That's vaccine fallout. And then we can have nuclear war fallout. Together, it's the end of anyone who doesn't know how to repair their DNA, who doesn't know how to protect themselves. And I'm actually, the reason I know so much about this is because I'm producing a free seminar about this very topic. And the good news, Rex, and this has to do with what, you know, your company there and what you offer is that nutrition is the answer. So it's amazing. Like the body knows how to repair itself, but that knowledge is censored and suppressed.
Right.
To make people vulnerable to this.
Right. And they want to make people into this Roundup Ready corn. I talked to Kriston Harris about this, also a host on the network, where essentially you have a designer genetically modified baby. And hey, here's the thing. Hey, it's the year's 2040. Your kid can't see all the screens, the special screens on the wall, because they don't have the eye implant that pairs with their genetic thing to do whatever. The future, like, it's cyberpunk. It's 2077. The future is now. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, that's for the surviving elite. They want to become transhumanists.
Everyone else is dead.
But they, right, everyone else is dead. That's their plan. Clearly, that's their plan. Now, you know, the good news in this is that it's not very difficult to become hard to kill. This is a key message that I've been talking about for years. It's pretty easy to be hard to kill. One of those is to get out of the kill zones, which is the cities.
Right.
The other one is to become a lot more self-reliant. The other one is to be incredibly well-informed so you see the early signs of what's happening. So if you are entirely dependent on the system for food, for water, for healthcare, for everything, for money, then you are absolutely under their control, and you will not survive. As you know, I think Michael Young was on with you or with Alex the other day, saying, or maybe it was with Harrison, saying this very thing, like big boy rules apply right now. If you don't know what's going on, you're going to die and your family will die. But it's not that difficult to actually be hard to kill. All you have to do is follow basic preparedness, decentralization, maybe a physical location change, certainly get out of the blue cities in the blue states. You don't want to be anywhere near, you know, Los Angeles or Chicago or Denver when this goes
down.
Hold
on. Right? They made a movie about that. It's called Escape from New York, Escape from L.A. Literally, predicted in the annals of time. We knew this was going to happen. I want to go to this clip 14. Man is removed after clapping during public comment at a Kansas data center zoning meeting, because it's very Warhammer 40K, the worship of the technology. We must have the technology, put the technology in front of ourselves. Eventually, you're going to have a system where, you know, kind of like 1984, it's kind of a blend between 1984 and Brave New World. I know we say like we're going to have the elites and they'll have access to the technology and they'll survive. I do believe there's going to be a permanent slave class. I think they want that. I think they'll have fun with that. It'd be like, you know, you get to go purge them whenever you want, rape them whenever you want, experiment on them whenever you want.
Organ harvesting.
Exactly. Just like in China. Let's play clip number 14.
Not okay.
Those are pigs grabbing him.
It's very clear at the beginning that each person is given their 2 minutes, and we're trying to be respectful of that. Snapping, clapping, any other rude comments or anything, we will ask you to leave.
Pause it. You've been fine. That's Hitler. Right there. Leave that up. That's the road to hell right there. It's a lady like that that passes laws that make sure you'll never have a future. Truly disgusting how, oh, it's my dad's class. Oh, I wear the fluffy socks. You can trust me. I have different colored socks. I have a polka dot shirt. Ooh, look at me. And she's literally plotting, actively implementing your own destruction just because she doesn't care. That's the craziest part. What do you think?
Well, let me turn this on its head, because the silver lining in this is that most of those local tyrants have no idea what's coming and they will not be prepared.
Yes.
And they won't make it. So it's pretty easy to outlive the local tyrants. So there's some good news for you today.
Sure.
It's not that difficult. And those people will become, you know, so desperate, and, you know, they'll be begging you for food and help. And, you know, hey, we want to be good Christian people. We want to help as many as we can. I already have plans to donate a large amount of food and supplies to local churches. But if somebody comes to my home who I know was a local tyrant, you know, I'm not going to hurt them. I'm not going to lecture them. I'm going to say, I don't have anything for you. Go to the church, because that's where my donations are. And I hope you learn something about all this, because it's people like you that caused this situation.
Right.
So hope you live through it.
Yeah. And I know, that's
the best I can do.
100%. I was rewatching my dad's old documentaries, and I think it's in Police State too. He says, ignorance is the greatest weapon. Because if you don't know what you're doing, they can use you to do anything. It's even more so a person that's pure evil, because they'll have their own self-interest, right? Somebody that's purely ignorant can be led into doing whatever you want them to do, and they think they're doing a good thing as long as you pat them on the back and tell them, you know, good boy or good girl in whatever scenario. It really is wild.
Yeah, yeah. And the breakdown period of society is going to be very violent. And There was a video that went viral, I think, yesterday or the day before, of those young African-American boys coming out of their cars, shooting their guns without ever using any of the sights.
Can we find
or
that? It's Matt Bracken. It's
wild.
Matt Bracken. Dad retweeted it. It's kind of like a crazy YN clip, I guess would be the colloquial term.
Yeah, yeah. It was a YN youth clip or whatever that was. And what's interesting about that clip is that, you know, you, depending on where you live, you will be assaulted by a large number of different groups of different ethnicities who are starving and desperate.
And high tech.
And most of them,
High tech as well. They'll have satellite surveillance. They'll have vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
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 That's the key. Go ahead.
But the interesting part is that, just like that video shows, Most people don't know how to deploy firearms accurately or in any really effective way. For example, the combat effectiveness of those young men in that video is near zero.
Yeah.
Like any trained U.S. Marine would just pick them off in seconds, right? Or any individual trained in rifle use and using red dot sights appropriately or whatever, 3X optics, would just take them out in seconds. But there's going to be a very large number of extremely desperate, hungry people. And there's a whole quality to the being overwhelmed by just rapid firepower. There you go. I think his accuracy would improve if he pulled his pants down more. if the pants are around your ankles, I hear that your accuracy goes up.
That's true.
But I mean, look at the posture. Like none of them have gone to any kind of firearms training. This guy's got the
closest thing. That was the best one we've seen.
At least.
That's the best one.
That was the best. Yeah, right. Maybe he's had a little bit of training. The rest of these people have no idea. Like you can't hit anything shooting from the hip. Come on.
Right. But you got 10, right? You got 10 guys, 100 guys running at you. It's like warlord stuff, mob rule. And that's the future we're talking about is Mad Max, a Mad Max scenario of choice that we were put in. This is an illegal war of aggression. Go ahead.
Right, but remember, when there's a diesel shortage, then the radius of the Mad Max effect will be quite limited. So they can only drive so far out because fuel's hard to get. Like, this becomes Mad Max. This becomes Escape from New York. Or they have to get there through some other means other than a combustion engine. You know, walking or bicycles for that, or motorcycles will become even more popular because they have extended range. So... But the farther away you are from these Mad Max zones, that is going to be the blue cities, the better off you're going to be and the less likely you will have to deploy firearms in self-defense. Because, you know, we can laugh at people like that, but I don't want to have to shoot anybody in self-defense who is assaulting my ranch. Am I willing to? Absolutely.
Right.
But do I want to? Oh, no, absolutely not. It's not my wish.
Here's the reality. People are going to get really hungry and they're going to get really mad and they're going to see people that have stuff they don't have. And just like, I'll give an example. Okay. This applies to all human beings. All right. 'Cause it applies on an animal level. You have a zookeeper that takes care of chimpanzees. He gives chimpanzee a cake on its birthday, doesn't give the other ones a cake, the other chimpanzee, right? That's where we're going. It's animalistic behavior. My dad talks about it all the time. Once you start spending over 60% of your money on fuel and food, you go to war. And that's just a societal equation.
Right. And what will happen is that the desperate gangs, they will very quickly ramp up their level of violence. And then the civilized, polite society people will lag behind that dramatically. They won't ramp up their response, their self-defense use of kinetic weapons in a rapid enough fashion in order to meet the escalated violence that's coming at them. So for example, most Americans are good people. And if someone comes to your door, let's say a young mother with a child, they look impoverished. They look like they're hungry and they knock on the door. Can you give us some food? Yeah. 'Cause what's actually happening is there's a man 400 yards away with a rifle scope that's going to put a round through your head, like a 308 round or whatever. And they're just going to take everything in your house. And most Americans do not anticipate that because they're good people. They wouldn't do that to somebody else. So they won't realize that that's what's coming. And, you know, there's going to be all kinds of traps on the road. Like, oh, it's an injured person. It's a car accident. No, it's a trap. If you stop, you're dead. Your whole family's dead. You're all going to be looted. You're done. Okay. So that's the problem. And, you know, I've trained with special forces. I've trained with Navy SEALs. Over the years, I've done extensive training. Scenario training, hostage rescue, tubular assault training, whatever. And the one thing I learned from all the specialists that I trained with is that the person who's late to ramp up the use of your tools is the one who dies. So you have to have a mindset of being willing to protect the innocent and being willing to use a rifle or whatever tools you have on your own property in self-defense, but to deploy them rapidly as chaos takes place. And that's the only way you're going to survive this. And by the way, your local law enforcement, they probably don't have enough ammo. They probably don't have enough body armor. I know this because I've worked with a lot of local law enforcement over the years as to helping them get some of this equipment. I'm talking about sheriffs, constitutional sheriffs, by the way, not like city police who are all, you know, woke idiots, but constitutional sheriffs and sheriff's deputies. They are not equipped. They don't have the ammo to fight off the hooligans. Okay. And a lot of them don't have the training, believe it or not. I mean, they qualify with a few rounds from a Glock, you know, every quarter or whatever, but they're only given sometimes 50 rounds of ammo a month to train with. 50 rounds.
Nightmare.
50 rounds a month. I mean, me and my buddies, that's like, we warm up with that to make sure, you know, the targets are working. You know, that's like 50 rounds. We're just getting started here. So that's the reality. You better be ready for what's coming.
100%. And that's a very important message. Become combat effective. Take courses. Train with firearms. Get acquainted with both handguns, rifles, and other things as well. Learn how to drive a motorcycle, even if you don't want to. I hate motorcycles, but I do know how to drive one. Learn how to operate heavy machinery. You're going to know how to use a diesel tractor, all sorts of stuff like that. Because we're going to be in a world where we have a lot less options. And when we're in that world, I hope all you remember who took it away. Because it wasn't people like us on this network, because we've been talking about this literally for 30 years. It's people that sleptwalk us into the situation. So in closing, Mike Adams, you got like a minute left. What do you think?
Well, and last comment on that, you probably don't need more ammo. What you need is more training time. You need more dry fire time. You need just more muscle memory in deploying firearms.
Right.
And do so lawfully and safely, and always follow the four rules of firearm safety, et cetera, and protect the innocent. So I'm not advocating initiating violence, but rather halting violence.
Absolutely.
In a lawful and ethical way. Finally, if people want to follow me, you know, my articles are at naturalnews.com. My videos are at brightvideos.com. And my AI engine that is the truly the best uncensored AI engine is brightanswers.ai.
Beautiful. I'm going to be using that later today. Thank you, Mike Adams. Always a pleasure. I'll have you back on soon. Really appreciate watching you over the years. You've been a big influence on me and my broadcasting 100%. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Rex. God bless you. Take care.
God bless you too. We'll be right back with more news and breaking information. I want to do kind of a Sam Altman deep dive. I want to look at him and we'll cover the war, of course, more because I haven't really gotten to that today. I do think I'm going to take your calls. So looking forward to that in the next segment. Thank you all so much. If you want to find me, I'm Rex Jones News with a Z on X. I'm also Rex Jones News with a Z on Instagram. I'm Gray Area Talks and New American Journal. I got my whole network. I do a morning show, 8 a.m., 11 a.m., do an evening show, 7:30, 9:30 p.m. I'm live for you every single day, sometimes multiple times a day during the week. Follow me. Come on. I'm your guy. I'm your boy. I'm your homie. I'll see you after this break.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started. Or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is, type in what's wholesale gold and silver, and then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation, email. You call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.